The first reading is Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7, and this can be found on page 560 of the Pew Bible and page 994 of the Large Print Bible. That's Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up mine iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, beginning at verses 1 to 3, then continuing partway from verse 11 to 32. And this can be found on page 1048 of the Pew Bible and page 1851 of the Large Print Bible. That's Luke 15, beginning at verse 1. And find it? Yes. And this is the parable of the lost son. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around him to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed a fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray.
While we are still far off from God our Father, he comes to welcome us. And so we pray that through your word we will recognise the generous warmth of your love. And through Christ's redeeming grace, we will know his peace and joy. Amen. The musical Fiddler on the Roof has got some great songs, and I thought we'd start with a bit of one this morning. Tradition. What has tradition to do with our reading? Everything. In order to really understand the parable of the prodigal son, we need to appreciate the significant traditions that are bound up in it and are consequently broken during its telling. The name that we give to a story is so important. It gives us a flavour of what it's going to be about. The prodigal son. That famous prodigal son. Ponder on the parable's title as we review the story together this morning. We find the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. Interestingly, only Luke includes the Good Samaritan, and only Luke includes the story of the prodigal. For me, there are no wishy-washy colours in the gospel of Luke. It is full of the vibrant primary colours of the gospel. We find real people on the margins of society. There are compelling stories where the colours are not watered down. Strong colours of God's grace that is tender and touching. Luke teaches us something of the unstoppable depth and colour of God's love to us. In Luke, we find a disciple who has an intense desire to show us the compelling love of Christ, reaching across all borders, all boundaries, all traditions. In fact, Martin Luther once said, if the Bible only contained this story, it would be enough. Ernest Hemingway's book, Capital of the World, tells another story about a father in Spain who had a son named Paco. The father and his son were estranged from one another. Paco had wronged his father and run away from home. In the story, the father searched all over Spain for Paco, but still he could not find the boy. Finally, in the city of Madrid, in a last desperate attempt to find his son, the father placed an advert in the daily paper. It read, Paco meets me at the Hotel Montana, noon Tuesday, all is forgiven, Papa. The father prayed that the boy would see the advert, and then maybe, just maybe, he would come to the Hotel Montana. On Tuesday at noon, the father arrived at the hotel, and he could not believe his eyes. An entire squadron of police officers had been called in an attempt to keep order among 800 young boys. It turned out that each one of them was named Paco, and each one of them had come to meet his respective father and find forgiveness in front of the Hotel Montana. 800 boys named Paco had read the advert and had hoped it was for them. 800 Pacos had come to receive the forgiveness they so desperately desired. This has something to say about humanity's need for forgiveness. And of course, the parable of the prodigal son is the ultimate story. But does the title focus us on a runaway and selfish child rather than highlight the wonderful and amazing, forgiving and loving father? To really understand the depth of the father's love, we need to look through a window to the culture and tradition. Our children often leave home to travel abroad. usually with our blessings, to explore, to spend our money, or to just enjoy the freedom and self-discovery of being a free spirit. Wanderlust has taken over, but they usually come home when they're hungry. Some similarities with the prodigal there. But in the Jewish culture of the day, the shame the younger son brought on his family by leaving and asking for his share of inheritance is indescribable. The breaking of that tradition is untenable. The strong element of shock and dismay is lost on us. In reality, the younger son asked his father to die. The father in Jesus' story would have said to himself, "My son wants me dead." We just can't comprehend this disgrace. It was extremely unconventional and extremely offensive. There certainly would have been no way the son would have ever been received back into his family. He would likely to have been disinherited, disowned, and even stoned. In first century Palestine, if the son had ever dared to return, the village would perform the tradition of the kazaza ceremony. A large pot would be broken in front of him to symbolically portray and officially proclaim the separation between the boy and the village. The pot would be smashed. Smithereens, there's going to be no way that he could come back. The village are telling him the relationship is broken. But there was going to be no kazaza ceremony for the prodigal. The father is going to forgive his son and welcome him home. We are told when the father saw the son coming home, he runs to meet him. Was that to stop the kazaza ceremony? I don't know. But it is the most extraordinary thing, breaking traditional customs again. It was so undignified. A Middle Eastern man never ran. Women, children and slaves ran. Patriarchs and elders, they just didn't run. They just didn't do it. The portrayal of the father picking up his clothes, exposing his legs and ankles, and running would have been seen as humiliating, shameful, and quite scandalous. So, what is Jesus getting at with this parable? It must be something about this lavish welcome. Forgiveness that breaks tradition. Forgiveness that breaks convention. It focuses us not on the son, but the father. And I think that's the point of the story. In the search for the lost sheep and the lost coin, persistently and diligently the search was on, seeking what is lost and rejoicing when it was found. The father stays at home and waits until that pivotal moment when he runs out to meet his son and the rejoicing starts. The forgiving father has unconditional love. My son was dead and is now alive. He was lost, but now he is found. We must have a party. We must celebrate. The kingdom of God is certainly a place of celebration and rejoicing. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, all give us a foretaste of the rejoicing when that which was lost is found. But the parable's got a sting in the tail. The response of the elder son certainly clouds it. He questions his father's love for him just because he shows such love to his prodigal brother. He does not want to rejoice, and he feels no compassion at all. It's a bit hypocritical, as the Jewish laws of inheritance would have meant the elder brother had already got his share too. I wonder if we can be a bit like elder brothers sometimes, resentful and jealous, when others we think behave worse than us seem to receive more. We have received our inheritance in Christ, but we're not so sure about those we think who are unworthy. Martin Luther again adds his tuppence worth and tells us the most dangerous sin of all is the presumption of righteousness. We should not resent those who come back after serious wrongdoing. we should share in the Father's joy. Remember too that God loves elder brothers just as much as he loves those who come back through a dramatic situation. He says, "All that I have is yours." Both sons, it seems, have something to learn about the love of the father, the younger having thrown away his inheritance, and the older crippled by jealousy and bitterness. The father is the catalyst of resurrection for them both. The wonder and beauty and comprehensiveness of the character of God can be seen in this parable. The father asks them both to come into the house, to come home. God's love and forgiveness can restore every kind of sin, but the price was high for such unthinkable love, for such love that breaks the traditions. The price was God the Son on the cross, providing us a way home. This parable is full of paradox, disgrace and hope, pain and peace, sadness and delight, resentment and healing. We see weakness in those two sons and the great strength and love and compassion of the Father. Love does not care if it looks foolish. Love only asks that it be allowed to love at any cost. Our Father never gives up on us. He longs day and night for us to come home, and when we do, he is overjoyed. He loves us, he forgives us, he restores us. He holds a party for us. Let's celebrate. Before I finish, I'd just like you to look at two paintings. The first is Rembrandt's The Return of the Prodigal Son. And here we can see the loving father so tenderly embracing his son. And a less well-known painting, Charlie Mackesy's Prodigal Daughter, when the father is carrying and holding his child. Does God love me like this? Does God love you like this? The parable of the prodigal son gives us the answer. Yes, he does. I asked you to ponder on the parable title. Surely it is about the Father who is overflowing with mercy and love and a bountiful, determined generosity for his children. I hope you know the joy and celebration that come with such a homecoming. The Father's invitation to come home still remains. He is waiting for us. In this extraordinary story, we find the very essence of the gospel. Either God loves like this, or he doesn't. God's love is indeed spectacular, full of those bright primary colours. The Father welcomes us with arms flung open. His love is overflowing. This is the story of the prodigal son. Should I really be saying, this is the story of the loving, forgiving Father? Our loving Father asks us to join his celebration. Have a glass of wine. There is some bread too. Welcome home. Amen.